The Iraq War returned to the headlines this week because of Donald Trump's fight with the family of Humayun Khan, the Muslim American soldier killed in Iraq. The Trump campaign says people should blame Hillary Clinton more for Khan's death because she voted for the use of force against Iraq in 2002 when she was a newly elected senator from New York. Let's go back for some history with Ron Elving, NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent. Hi, Ron.
Good to be with you, Jeremy.
So a year and a month after the 9/11 attacks, President Bush's supporters in Congress introduced a bill that, among other things, said that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction and was harboring members of the al-Qaeda terrorist group that was responsible for the 9/11 attacks. And I want to listen to some tape here. This is days before the Senate debate started. President Bush outlined his case against the Iraqi regime in a speech in Cincinnati, during which he claimed that Saddam Hussein had attempted to purchase aluminum tubes and other equipment to build nuclear weapons 11 years after promising to destroy his WMDs.
Some citizens wonder, after 11 years of living with this problem, why do we need to confront it now? And there's a reason. We've experienced the horror of September the 11th. We have seen that those who hate America are willing to crash airplanes into buildings full of innocent people. Our enemies would be no less willing. In fact, they would be eager to use biological or chemical or a nuclear weapon. Knowing these realities, America must not ignore the threat gathering against us. Facing clear evidence of peril, we cannot wait for the final proof, the smoking gun that could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
Now, at this point, Ron, we know that Iraq did not have weapons of mass destruction and certainly did not have a nuclear capability. But remind us of what the debate was like back then.
The debate was really quite balanced between those who thought that it was quite possible that Iraq did, but probably didn't have it yet, and those who were fear-mongering, essentially, and saying, but what if they do? And of course, we heard the famous line, we can't wait for a warning that comes in the shape of a mushroom cloud.
Right.
Those words really resonated and struck fear in, I think, particularly an older generation of Americans who remember the 1950s and 1960s when there was a great deal of fear of nuclear war. So that seems quaint to us now, but it suddenly seemed real in 2002 because the country was still reeling from the enormous shock of 9/11.
And Hillary Clinton was at the time a newly elected senator from New York, of course, the center of the 9/11 attacks, or one of the centers of the 9/11 attacks. And on October 10th, 2002, she spoke in favor of the resolution in Congress. Let's listen here to an extended clip.
Even though the resolution before the Senate is not as strong as I would like in requiring the diplomatic route first and placing highest priority on a simple, clear requirement for unlimited inspections, I will take the president at his word that he will try hard to pass a UN resolution and will seek to avoid war if at all possible. Because bipartisan support for this resolution makes success in the United Nations more likely, and therefore war less likely, and because a good faith effort by the United States, even if it fails, will bring more allies and legitimacy to our cause, I have concluded, after careful and serious consideration, that a vote for the resolution best serves the security of our nation. If we were to defeat this resolution or pass it with only a few Democrats, I am concerned that those who want to pretend this problem will go away with delay will oppose any UN resolution calling for unrestricted inspections. This is a very difficult vote. This is probably the hardest decision I've ever had to make. Any vote that might lead to war should be hard. But I cast it with conviction.
So Ron Elving, she had misgivings there. You can hear that. But she said this was a mistake, the vote that she took. Why did she vote for this resolution?
That was quite an array of reasons and a carefully parsed kind of justification for a vote she was clearly uncomfortable with, having to do, to a large degree, with pressuring the United Nations and the international community to get behind the United States and to line up against Saddam Hussein. But, of course, the risk she was taking was that the administration would use her vote and that of other Democrats as a kind of license to march into Iraq, as indeed they ultimately did. And, of course, she was relying on that same intelligence that apparently the administration was, which proved to be not just faulty, but quite wrong-headed about the capabilities of Saddam Hussein, the weapons of mass destruction that never materialized. And she imagined herself, and those around her, her advisors certainly imagined a situation in which she might be cast as some sort of latter-day McGovernite opposed to all forms of force, and that that would be an albatross for her politically. Of course, it turned out to be 180 degrees the opposite.
And there were a lot of other Democrats who did oppose the war and opposed this resolution. Let's listen to one of the most vocal, the late Senator Robert Byrd, Democrat from West Virginia, who, when he spoke about it, recalled the vote to approve the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, which let President Lyndon Johnson send troops to Vietnam without a formal declaration of war. Here's Robert Byrd.
Congress is again being asked to vote on the use of force without hard evidence that the country poses an immediate threat to the national security of the United States. We're being asked to vote on a resolution authorizing the use of force in a hyped-up, politically charged atmosphere in an election year. Congress is again being rushed into a judgment. This is why I stand here today before this chamber and urge this nation, urge and pleading for some sanity.
And then on the other side, we had the former Navy Secretary and Virginia Republican Senator John Warner, who argued for the resolution, saying it was aimed at preventing war.
A strong bipartisan vote for this resolution is not an act of war. It is an act to deter war, to put in place the tools for our president, our Secretary of State, to get the strongest possible resolution in the United Nations. It is an act to see that force is the last, I repeat, the last option, as our president has said ever so clearly, time and time again.
Now, today, Ron, when people talk about this vote in favor of the Iraq war, it doesn't sound like they're saying it was a vote to deter war. It sounds like it was a vote for war. Was it really thought of at the time as a vote to deter war?
John Warner's argument here is a highly sophisticated one, and it may have been meaningful to some people. I suspect Hillary Clinton and other Democrats found it somewhat comforting. And so one has to say that it might have been, as John Warner described it, in some people's minds, a vote to deter war. But as we look back over the record, historians are indicating that it appears that the Bush administration was pretty set on invading Iraq pretty early on. Some people would even tell you that all of the talk of weapons of mass destruction had been a pretext for a predetermined policy. And if that's true, then John Warner was simply being led astray.
One more piece of tape I want to listen to, and that is the Republican nominee Donald Trump. This is him on September 11th, 2002. He was on the Howard Stern Show, and here he is.
We have an idea who the enemy is, and a lot of times the politicians don't want to tell you that.
Are you for invading Iraq?
Yeah, I guess. So, you know, I wish it was I wish the first time it was done correctly.
Now, today he says he's always been against it. Explain how his position has changed here, Ron.
Well, it seems that he was for it before he was against it, and that probably describes an enormous number of people. They thought perhaps we had to, maybe we should. And then, of course, as everything fell apart in Iraq in 2003 and 2004, people began to feel as though it had been a bad idea from the beginning. And of course, and this is crucial, there were no weapons of mass destruction. And as a result, people felt they'd been ripped off. They felt they'd been lied to. And so a lot of people suddenly found it in themselves to say, you know, I was against this all along.
That's Ron Elving, NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent. And we'll link you to some of these videos of the speeches that were made at our website, hereandnow.org. Ron, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.